This is the Right Not Wrong podcast. This podcast is a collection of audio series, starting with the comedy series. Of course, BJ stands for Barry Jones. If you give me a follow, a like, even recommend your friends, comments and messages are more than welcome. I hope you enjoy it. Of course, BJ stands for Barry Jones. Episode 1, the driving test, the birthday and the dog that humped. The examiner stomped over to Barry wearing a blue shirt which could have used an iron, tucked into a pair of dark grey suit trousers. He was overweight, which Barry could relate with, as COVID had really knocked his gym regime. "Hi, is it Barrington Jones?" asked the examiner, who Barry was sure he had been examined by on one of his previous 8 tests, but had somehow forgotten the name of. Barry shuddered, wondering why his parents hated him so much. Barry was a bad enough name on its own, let alone being called Barrington. "Yeah, that's me. I'm Paul." "Paul, that's the name," thought Barry. Paul's voice was hoarse from years of cigarette abuse. "What'd you like to be called?" Barry's mouth began to move before he could stop it. He had bigged himself up that much all day that something totally out of character came out of his mouth. "You can call me the best driver in the world." Paul scowled at the comment. Barry's face dropped. He gulped up all the extra saliva that had now gathered in his mouth and continued, "You can call me Barry, though." Paul ignored him, then passed over a piece of paper. "If you could read and sign the declaration, have you got a pen?" Shit. He had laid out the pen next to his provisional license the night before. He remembered that the last examiner had been peeved before they'd even started the test because he had not brought a pen. Sorry, I forgot. Believing honesty to be the best policy, Paul shook his head, then passed over a pen from his pocket. Barry perused the pen for a moment. It was gold-plated, and it was engraved. The part that Barry could read, which was not obscured by his hands, said, "With love, Mum." Barry pursed his lips, which was becoming a bad habit, then wondered, why would you bring a pen like this to work? He then signed the declaration and went to hand the pen back. He held it out, expecting Paul to take it back, but completely missed his hand, dropping it towards the ground. Barry winced, thinking this was a bad way to start the test, but refused to see how it could get any worse, until he saw the pen hit the ground, then subsequently roll through Paul's legs and promptly down the grid. Shit. "I am so sorry." "It's alright," Paul replied in a tone which did not fit his words. "It's only a small gift from my mother. Nothing expensive." I am truly sorry. Maybe your mum could get you another one," said Barry, wondering why he was not just shutting up. It was as if the universe was conspiring against him to ruin yet another test. "My mum died at the start of the year." "Shit. I'm so sorry. At least you have all great memories." "Shut up," thought Barry. "She lived in Australia. I had to say goodbye to her over a computer screen." Shit. Barry drove down the road, heading towards the school. John the Lollipop Man, who had been there since Barry was little, was out in force. He was in his 80s, at least, and wore the usual long jacket and hat you would expect to see on a Lollipop Man. Underneath, he wore shorts, although the weather had gotten considerably colder over the last few days, and flip-flops, which Barry had never really understood. He did not get the idea of flip-flops, especially on a pensioner. John held out his lollipop, halting the traffic. Barry slowed down, selecting first gear, and stopped nicely. He smiled smugly, thinking, "This is going well." As John moved off the road, the traffic started to move. Barry moved off slowly, only to be halted again as John held out the lollipop. Barry stopped and waited for the slowest bunch of 5-year-olds and their gabbing parents to cross the road. Barry was stopped at every set of lights. He had done his sat-nav route to perfection, if he said so himself. His manoeuvre, the parallel park, had gone fantastic. He was beginning to feel the delight. He could smell the pass for the first time. That was until they turned back into Union Street and started turning into the car park. Barry was so excited that he turned to Tony, who was waiting patiently, nodding yes to him. Tony had taken Barry on just before the first lockdown. Barry had his theory test booked in, only to be rearranged and cancelled because of COVID. After everything started back up again, Barry got himself a cancellation and passed the theory test on his first attempt. Tony put him straight in for his practical driving test. As he turned back to face the road ahead, he felt the scrape of metal. Shit! Barry's eyes darted to the left wing mirror. Shit! In his loss of concentration, he scraped the back end of the car on the gate as he had come back into the car park. Shit! Paul typed on his iPad, shaking his head. Barry looked out of the car. Tony, who had walked over to the driver's door to hear the debrief, had gone a red ashen colour. I'm sorry to say you haven't passed today. Do you want to open the door so your instructor can hear? No, not really, no. Shit. Barry had known Sammy since they were four. They had met on the first day of school and were fast friends. Sammy still had his childish nature, which mellowed Barry, who had gone straight from university into a graphic design job, which he hated. Sammy still worked at McDonald's, although he had just been promoted to a second assistant store manager, which meant he was salaried. Sammy had pestered Barry for weeks about speed dating. Sammy had done it before and, in his words, got so many chicks. Barry always wondered where Sammy got his vocabulary from. They grew up together and he would never use a word like chicks unless he was making a joke, probably with a surfer dude accent, or he was actually talking about baby chickens. Seriously, bro, the chicks at these things are insane. They're all horny as hell and up for anything. Barry was listening to the same bullshit again. What he could not believe was that he was actually contemplating it. It had been a lonely couple of years. He had broken up with Bridget, who he'd been with for 2 years right before lockdown. Bridget had taken not only the television, laptop and double bed, but she took Frank. Frank was a King Charles Spaniel. He was one of kind, one of the lads. In their old house, Frank used to lie on the windowsill of the living room, king. On more than one occasion, kids would walk by and marvel at the size of Frank's penis and balls. For a dog, he was hung like a horse. Barry was a little jealous, as the only thing that had grown on him since he was younger was his belly. Bridget took Frank, then moved in with her friend Sylvie. Sylvie was a bisexual spiritual healer who was determined to exercise any lasting effect that Barry had on Bridget's soul. The pair of them are regularly seen on Instagram posting semi-nude photos of themselves in nature. Most of the photos were taken during a full moon, which Sammy had found funny as they were both naked. Bridget had agreed for him to have visiting rights to Frank, who he had not seen properly for over a year. God knows he'd thought about stealing Frank back, but if he tried, he was sure that Sylvie was stronger than she looked and would probably be able to overpower his COVID flabby body. I've got Frank until 6 p.m.
That's fine, broski. All kicks off at 7. Barry's birthday bonanza. Plenty of time to wash your balls and gel whatever hair needs gelling, Sammy exclaimed as he grabbed his crotch and did a small victory dance.
Do you have to grab your balls when you do a victory dance? Barry complained as he edged further to the other side of the couch.
Of course! Would it even be a victory dance if I didn't grab Cisco and Craig David?
Sammy's shoulder-length curly hair was bobbing up and down, almost like it was completely separate from his head. Sammy had named his balls in the early 2000s. Barry wished he could forget.
Okay, Jesus, I'll go speed dating, just do me a favour. No more telling anyone the name of your balls. It's hard enough for me to get women, let alone if they wind up finding out that my best mate's balls are called Cisco and Craig David.
Barry shook his head in disgust. Sammy stood there, balls firmly grasped, self-admiration consuming his face. Barry woke up the next day feeling the aftereffects of several beers. Sammy had plied him with alcohol, then left at 11 p.m. to go meet his booty call, Helga. Helga was originally from Russia, but had moved here as a teenager. They had all gone to sixth form college together. Sammy had kept her on side on account that she was into all sorts of weird and kinky stuff in the boudoir. Sammy's words. Barry dreaded to think what they got up to, although he knew that Sammy would literally walk in the door and divulge every last tawdry detail of their sexual escapades. The kettle popped. Barry poured the boiling water into a large mug, which read, Frank's Daddy, then added a dash of milk, then stirred two large sugars into it. He was going to need all the help he could get today. He had to be over at Bridget and Sylvie's by 12 p.m. to pick up Frank. Barry knew how sad it was spending his birthday with a dog, but he needed something from before COVID, before he felt so alone.
Jesus, Bridget! What the hell have you done to my dog?
Your dog? In the eyes of the law, he is my dog, exclaimed Bridget as she held a nearly bald Frank up to him.
Why is he bald?
Barry cried as he took his beloved four-legged friend into his arms.
He is bald, Barrington.
She knew saying his full name was like poking the bear.
because unlike you, Frank is an amazing being. He donated his hair to a dog who has none. Bridget exclaimed as she tossed her long, light brown braid over her shoulder. He donated his fur to another dog. Why? Because the other dog has alopecia. Frank is a hero, Bridget beamed. What the fuck, he thought. Barry could not believe it. His best non-human mate had been reduced to a skinny, bald excuse of the dog that he once was. You've lost the plot. At least tell me you got paid for it. Not a penny. We're all about charity here, Bridget replied. I see you've still got all your hair, Barry jibed as he turned and walked back down the path. He could not see Bridget's face as he did, but he hoped he flustered her with his last comment. I'll have him back by 6 p.m. Give my best to Sylvie. Sarcasm consumed his last words. Barry sat in his old spot. Frank sat next to him, eating a bag of cheese and onion crisps. I've missed you, mate, said Barry. Frank lifted his nose in recognition, then promptly put his head back into the crisp packet. Things were going swimmingly. That was, until Frank smelt an attractive Aymarana who was in season. His nose twitched, his head tilted. Before Barry could leech him, Frank was gone. Barry scrambled to grab onto him. But the fur that he once would have been able to use to restrain him was gone, leaving the slick, frictionless skin. Frank moved pretty well for a 4-year-old dog. Barry could only assume that shedding the fur had dropped a few pounds off him. Frank was now moving like a greyhound, galloping over couples and children, aiming for the bitch of his dreams. Barry found himself sprinting after him, dodging the couple who had just cowered as Frank had sprung over them, basically hitting them in the face with the red lipstick, which we all know could not have been attractive. Frank began to slow, turning into the predator that his ancestors hoped he would be. Barry saw his chance. He slowed his pace, sidestepping, then pounced. The trip through the air seemed to last a lifetime, but in fact took 3 seconds. He could see Frank lowering the front end of his body to the ground, shaking his tail as he did. Barry flung out his hand, reaching for the large, prissy collar that Bridget made him wear. It was like Frank sensed that he was about to be restrained and bolted straight ahead at cheetah speeds, leaving Barry in a heap of now-dead daffodils. Shit! Barry pulled his head out of the flowerbed. Frank had got the bitch where he wanted her. The walk from the park was one filled with remorse and deep, deep shame for Barry. Frank, on the other hand, was the happiest that Barry had ever seen him. Barry walked around the corner, keeping a tight hold of Frank. As they reached the gate of Bridget's new house, he glanced at his watch. It was 5:40. He was slightly early, but he'd worked out the bus schedule earlier and needed to get the 5:50 bus to have any hope of getting home, showered, and out for the dreaded speed dating. The pair made their walk up the long path. As they got to the bottom of the steps, which led up to the front door, Bridget stood at the top, glaring down in disgust. "What do you have to say for yourself?" she bellowed. "What? I'm early," Barry replied, looking down at Frank for some backup. "I know what you let him do." "Shit. I don't know what you're talking about," Barry lied, as he looked down at Frank, yet again looking for some backup. Frank then proceeded to cock his leg and wee on a lovely arrangement of flowers. "Frankie, no! We go wee-wee in the back garden!" Bridget fumed as she stepped down and picked up Frank. "There is a video, you big freak!" Bridget shoved her phone into Barry's face. There on the screen was a video, which was playing on loop, of Frank humping the poor defenseless Aymarana. Then enter stage right, Barry, who proceeded to grab onto Frank and try and yank him away. "Shit, Bridget, Barry tried. "Just don't," bellowed Bridget. "Shit." Next time on Of Course BJ Stands for Barry Jones, Barry goes speed dating and meets some colourful people. Is one of these dates the love of his life? He also gets himself into a sticky situation with Helga, the Russian dominatrix. Listen to the next episode, Speed Dating, the Russian Dominatrix, and the Long Walk Home, right now.